Against the background of the hills and streetlights of Los Angeles, searchlights illuminate a huge Art Deco sign of sculpted letters spelling out Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. The screen fades to black. The face of a young girl with big framed spectacles over blue eyes fills the screen. Her name is Olive. She's 7 years old and she's watching a video.
The winner of a $30,000 scholarship is Miss Louisiana Erica Schwartz. And the new Miss America is Miss Kansas, Tara Dawn Holland.
She rewinds the video, watching the brunette beauty queen gape and hold her hands to her cheeks in delight and disbelief. Olive puts down the remote and imitates the gesture. A man gestures emphatically.
Scholarship is Miss Louisiana Erica Schwartz. And the new Miss America is Miss Kansas, Tara Dawn Holland.
There are two kinds of people in this world, winners and losers. Inside each and every one of you, at the very core of your being, is a winner waiting to be awakened and unleashed upon the world. With my 9-step Refuse to Lose program, you now have the necessary tools and the insights and the know-how to put your losing habits behind you and to go out and make your dreams come true. No hesitating, no complaining, and no excuses. I want you to go out in the world, and I want you to be winners! Thank you.
The speaker nods towards his unseen audience.
Thank you.
10 high school class students gather up their books as the speaker, Richard, a neat-looking man in his late 30s, smiles and raises his projector screen on the stage behind him. In a bedroom, Dwayne, a teenage boy with a heavy dark fringe, works out with weights, skips and does sit-ups, pull-ups and press-ups. On a cream-coloured sheet hung on the bedroom wall is a painting of a man with a bushy walrus moustache. Dwayne marks his progress with an X on a wall chart and looks at his reflection in a mirror. A man with blotched, wrinkled hands locks the door to his room, takes a pouch from his money belt and sits at a dressing table. He takes a small file of cocaine from the pouch, tips some onto a hand mirror, divides it with a razor blade, and snorts it. The wiry, unshaven man with cropped silver hair in a Hawaiian short-sleeved shirt and a leather waistcoat over jeans sits back in a chair by the door and closes his eyes. A woman smokes and talks into her mobile as she drives.
I'm on my way. I don't know how long. I don't know. Richard, he has nowhere else to go.
She pulls on a cigarette.
I'm not smoking. I'm not. Look, I'm at the hospital. Yeah, okay, bye.
The woman, Cheryl, shakes her head in agitation. In a hospital room, a slim bearded man with a flop of brown hair and bandaged wrists sits in a wheelchair and gazes morosely out of a window. The film title in graduated letters, Little Miss Sunshine. The long-haired woman in her late 30s, wearing a short-sleeved top over a knee-length skirt, hurries down the hospital corridor, her expression tense. A doctor steps out of the patient's room.
Miss Hoover, your brother's fine. I need you to keep him away from sharp objects, knives, scissors. If you have medications, depressants in your house, keep him secure. I'd prefer to keep him, but...
Yeah, I know. The insurance.
You want to see him?
Cheryl nods, pressing her hand to her forehead and calming herself. She steps into the room, and the doctor closes the door behind her.
Hey, Frank.
Cheryl.
Frank doesn't look at her.
I'm so glad you're still here.
She leans over him and hugs him.
Well, that makes one of us.
A strong low pressure system will pass southward across New Mexico tonight, bringing with it a little moisture that will cool things off a bit. We may even see a 5 to 10 degree drop in temperatures in Albuquerque. There will be no significant accumulations of rain. rainfall.
You want to talk or no?
Cheryl nods, tight-lipped. They come into a single-story open-plan house with wood-paneled walls. Clothes litter the floor.
Hello? Anyone?
She comes through the dining room.
Down here we have you with Dwayne.
They go into the bedroom corridor.
Dwayne, hi. Uncle Frank's here.
Dwayne, lying on his bed reading, sits up without expression.
He doesn't mind, Frank. We talked.
Frank gestures hopelessly.
Well, I know, but we can't have you sleeping alone, the doctor said. I'm sorry. I have to insist.
Dwayne comes out of the room past his mother and Frank and goes into the dining room.
Get along fine. It's really quiet. Here's your cot.
Cheryl makes up a sofa bed.
Please, Frank. Please.
Frank steps into the room and slowly sits on the bed.
Thank you. I've got to start dinner. You'll come out when you're settled. And just leave the door open. That's important.
Cheryl leans over and kisses Frank's forehead. Dwayne is reading a Penguin paperback with a picture of the man with a walrus moustache on the cover.
Dwayne, honey, there's a bucket of chicken in the car. Can you get it? And I'll make a salad. Olive?
Yeah?
Is Grandpa with you?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Rehearsing.
Okay, well, dinner in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Richard comes in.
Hi.
Hi, Frank's here.
Oh, God. Did Stan Grossman call?
Well, check the machine. Dwayne, please, come on, the chicken, it's in the car. When we set the table, we'll just do paper plates tonight.
She was runner-up in the regional Little Miss Sunshine. Well, they just called right now and said...
Hey, it's your sister!
Fuck.
Richard picks up the phone. Dwayne comes in from the car with a bucket of chicken and a large brown takeaway bag, which he unpacks.
Hi, Richard Hoover for Stan Grossman, please. Any way to reach him, or...? Well, I'm just wondering if this darn book deal is done or not.
Dwayne gets the cutlery. Richard shushes him.
Yes. Okay, could you please just have him call me anytime over the weekend? He has my cell number, just to let me know we're on. Okay? Thank you. Bye.
So what happened with Stan Grossman?
He's in Scottsdale.
So why didn't he call?
Will you let me worry about this, please?
Dwayne, can you check on Frank? Tell him it's dinner time.
Dwayne slopes back to his bedroom.
Olive! Dinner time! Mommy!
Dwayne knocks on the doorframe of Frank's room and mimes eating.
Wait. Dinner?
Frank nods and looks up at Dwayne.
Wait, you don't talk anymore?
Dwayne shakes his head.
Why not? You can talk, you just choose not to.
Dwayne points to the painted bedsheet of the man with the walrus moustache hanging on the wall.
Is that Nietzsche? You don't speak because of Friedrich Nietzsche.
Dwayne, in white t-shirt and jeans, wanders back to the dining room.
Far out.
Frank comes through to the dining room. Dwayne is sitting at the table by himself.
Frank, you can sit here next to Dwayne. Here's the salad, and I'm gonna run and get Sprite for everyone.
Cheryl goes back to the kitchen. Frank, wearing a white shirt with the sleeves rolled right down, sits next to Dwayne, who sits with his shoulders hunched and arms folded. Both stare ahead.
So who do you hang out with?
They turn and look at each other. Dwayne shakes his head.
No one?
Dwayne brings out a ballpoint and notepad from his back pocket, scribbles on it, and shows it to Frank. It says, I hate everyone.
What about your family?
Dwayne looks at Frank and underlines the word, everyone.
Frank! Hey, Richard.
They shake
good
hands.
See you.
Yes.
Richard sits at the head of the table. Frank stares ahead and Dwayne's head is almost turned away from Richard. Richard scratches his nose and stands up.
I'm gonna get Olive. Olive? Dad?
You guys, I want to start.
Let's go!
Frank, some Sprite?
Yes.
And I want everyone to have at least a little salad.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Frank picks up his glass, which has a cartoon hamburger figure on it, and looks at it.
So, Cheryl, I couldn't help noticing Dwayne has stopped speaking.
Oh, yeah, he's taken a vow of silence.
You've taken a vow of silence?
Yeah. He's going to join the Air Force Academy, become a test pilot, and he's taken a vow of silence until he reaches that goal.
You're kidding.
Hi, Uncle Frank.
Oh, hey, Olive. Wow, you're getting big. Almost like a real person.
Olive sits opposite Dwayne.
What happened to your arms?
Olive?
That's all right. I had a little accident. I'm okay.
How's the routine coming, honey?
It's good.
Yeah? When do you show it to us?
I don't know. It's up to Grandpa.
A couple of days. Still needs work. What's that, chicken? Every night it's the fucking chicken.
Dad. Holy God almighty. Is it possible just once
Dad?
We could get something to eat for dinner around here that's not the goddamn fucking chicken?
Hey, Dad.
I'm just saying.
Dad.
Christ.
Whenever you want to start cooking your own food, you're more than welcome.
Sunset Manor, you know.
Like Sunset Manor so much, you shouldn't have got yourself kicked out of there, right?
For God's sakes.
Frank addresses Dwayne.
So when did you start with a vow?
Been 9 months, Frank. He hasn't said a word. Not one. I think it shows tremendous discipline.
Richard?
I really do. Really, I think we could learn something from Dwayne. Dwayne has a goal. He has a dream. It may not be my dream, may not be yours, but he's pursuing it with great conviction and focus. In fact, I was thinking about the 9 steps and the 9 steps and how Dwayne's utilizing at least 7 of them in his personal quest to self-fulfillment.
Richard, please.
Well, just saying, come around. Like you could use our support.
Olive gives Frank a beady look.
How did it happen?
How did what happen?
Your accident.
Honey, here.
Oh, no, it's okay. Unless you object.
Hmm. No, I'm pro-honesty here. I just think, you know, it's up to you.
Be my guest.
Olive, Uncle Frank didn't really have an accident. What happened was he tried to kill himself.
You did? Why?
I'm sorry. I don't think this is an appropriate conversation. Honey, let's let Uncle Frank finish his dinner, okay? Shh.
Why did you want to kill yourself?
No, don't answer the question, Frank.
Richard.
Don't answer it.
Richard.
He's not going to answer the question, Frank.
I wanted
Richard.
To kill myself.
Don't listen to him.
Richard.
Because I was
He's
very
He's
unhappy.
He's a sick man. He's a sick in his head man.
Richard.
But I'm sorry. I don't think it's an appropriate conversation for a 7-year-old.
Well, she's going to find out anyway.
Oh, okay.
Go on, Frank.
Frank looks at Richard, who avoids his eye.
Why were you unhappy?
Well, there were a lot of reasons. Mainly, though, I fell in love with someone who didn't love me back.
Who?
One of my grad students. I was very much in love with him.
Him? It was a boy? You fell in love with the boy?
Yes, I did. Very much so.
That's silly.
You're right. It was silly. It was very, very silly.
There's another word for it.
Dad.
So, that's when you tried to kill yourself?
Well, no. The boy that I was in love with fell in love with another man, Larry Sugarman.
Who's Larry Sugarman?
Larry Sugarman is perhaps the second most highly regarded Proust scholar in the U.S.
Who's number one?
That would be me, Rich.
What?
Mm.
So, that's one.
No. What happened was I was a bit upset. So I said some things that I shouldn't have said, and I did some things that I shouldn't have done, and subsequently I was fired from my job and forced to move out of my apartment and move into a motel.
Grandpa blows his nose.
And that's when you tried to...
Well, no. Actually, all of that was okay. What happened was 2 days ago, the MacArthur Foundation, in its infinite wisdom, awarded a genius grant to Larry Sugarman. And that's when I...
Decided to check out early.
Yes, yes, and I failed at that as well.
Olive, the important thing to understand here is that Uncle Frank gave up on himself. He made a series of foolish choices. I'm sorry, and he gave up on himself, which is something that winners never do.
So that's a story, okay? Now everyone just, let's move on, and,
Is he always like this?
Olive, why don't you...
Dwayne nods at Frank.
How can you stand it?
Hi.
Olive, tell him about your, routine while you're doing this.
Okay, Little Miss Chili Pepper is a beauty contest for everyone in Albuquerque, but you have to be 6 or 7, and you have to be a girl.
This is our sister.
Cindy.
This spring break. Dwayne went to see his dad in Florida for 2 weeks, and Ollie went to Laguna to see her cousins. She made it to the top of the regionals out there.
I was in second place.
Well, what do you think your chances are?
I think I can win, because some of the other girls, they've been doing it longer, but I practice every day.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Not about luck, Frank. Luck is the name losers give to their own failings. It's about wanting to win. Willing yourself to win. You gotta want it better than anybody else.
I do.
Then you're gonna be a winner.
Richard.
It's the truth.
Frank and Dwayne exchange a glance.
You know, actually, there is a message from Cindy on the machine. Something about Little Mrs. Sunshine. Sunshine.
What? Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah.
What?
Olive, her long hair scraped back in a long ponytail, runs through to the answering machine in the kitchen.
Runner-up in the regional Little Miss Sunshine? Well, they just called right now and said that the girl who won had to forfeit her crown. I don't know why, something about diet pills, but anyway, now she has a place in the state contest in Redondo Beach. They want to make sure she makes
her call right away. Oh my gosh, I won!
Finish your dinner!
I finished!
What happened?
I'm just calling Cindy! Yeah, we just got it. Yeah, she basically went crazy. No, I didn't get that. The machine cut you off. Okay.
Richard saunters over to Cheryl.
This Sunday? What, are you guys going?
Richard mouths, yes.
Can you put it off?
Yeah, we have to. Oh.
Well, where does that leave us?
We can't do it. No,
I understand that, Cindy. Yeah, I'll just figure it out. Okay, bye-bye.
It's this Sunday? Why can't Jeff and Cindy Decker?
They have some equestrian thing in Santa Barbara.
You know, they do that horse shit every single weekend.
Well, it's the Nationals. They're taking both horses, so apparently it's a big deal.
What about Olive?
Cheryl shrugs.
Miss Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine, I won!
Olive packs her bag.
I won! I'm going! We're going!
You promised!
Fly out and come back Monday.
And how are you going to get around out there?
We'll rent a car.
And stay at a hotel?
We can afford it.
Cheryl, this is our seed money.
Well, if I had a little help bringing it in, you know.
That.
It all goes to your nine steps.
I told you, I'm going to talk to Stan Grossman. We're going to be locked and loaded on this deal and start generating some income. But in the meantime, we've got to be...
Okay, we'll drive.
I'm not driving.
How are you going to fit Grandpa in the Miata?
Well, Grandpa does not have to come.
What? I coached her. I gave her the moves. I got to go.
Why don't you take the VW?
I cannot drive a shift, Richard. I tried and I cannot do it. We'll fly there.
We can't afford it.
Well, that's what we're gonna do unless you have a better idea.
Cheryl grabs a box of ice lollies.
Here, this is dessert.
She slams the box down in front of Frank and Dwayne. Richard, scowling, loosens his tie.
I won!
Cheryl nibbles distractedly on an ice lolly.
All right, I'll drive the bus.
Richard, I was told explicitly not to leave Frank by himself. No offense, Frank.
Now, Dick.
What are you talking about? You got Dwayne here. They can look after each other.
No, Richard, that's asking too much.
Okay,
if something happened,
I... go, then, unless Dwayne and Frank go with us.
Mom, right.
Dwayne shakes his head.
Frank.
Frank rolls his eyes haplessly.
Okay.
Dwayne looks at his mother and shakes his head.
Oh, Dwayne, come on, please. Think of your sister.
Come on, Dwayne, it'll be a lot of fun. You could go to the beach.
Dwayne writes in his notebook and Frank reads the words.
This is unfair. All I ask is that you leave me alone.
Dwayne, flight school. I will give you permission for flight school.
Dwayne folds his arms and squirms.
I can't believe it. I won. I'm gonna win this one too.
He bangs the table with both fists, then holds out his hand to his mother without looking at her. Cheryl grasps it and kisses his head.
But I'm not going to have any fun. Yeah, we're all with you on that one, Dwayne.
Grandpa, is Grandpa coming to California?
We're all coming, honey.
Hey. Hold on. Olive, come over here for a second. Come here. Sit down for a second. Look. There's no sense in entering a contest if you don't think you're gonna win. So, do you think you can win, Little Miss Sunshine?
Richard.
Richard silences Cheryl.
Are you gonna win?
Olive looks round. Everyone's eyes are on her.
Yes.
We're going to California.
The little girl throws her arms around her father. He smiles proudly at the rest of the family. Later, Dwayne is in bed reading Nietzsche.
Good night, Dwayne.
Frank sits down on his own bed. Dwayne writes on his pad. The bearded academic in pajamas watches expressionlessly. Dwayne holds up the notepad, which says, "Please don't kill yourself tonight."
Not on your watch. I wouldn't do that to you.
Resting the pad on his knee, Dwayne writes, "Welcome to hell," and holds it up to Frank.
Thank you, Dwayne. Coming from you, that means a lot. Good night.
Frank lies on his back. Dwayne puts down his book and notepad and switches off the light. In bright morning sunlight, Richard is at the wheel of a yellow and white Volkswagen camper as it speeds along a highway flanked on both sides by arid, rocky terrain. In the passenger seat, next to him, Cheryl's eyes are looking nowhere in particular. In the back, Dwayne is immersed in a book. In the middle seat, Frank peers broodily from under his dark eyebrows. Next to him, Olive, with her personal stereo in her lap and her headphones on, is nodding her head to the music. And in the back, next to Dwayne, in a white T-shirt and black leather waistcoat, Grandpa is fighting to keep his eyes open. Grandpa throws out a general remark and turns to Dwayne.
Jesus, I'm tired. I'm so fucking tired. You know how tired I am? If some girl came up to me, begged me to fuck her, I couldn't do it.
Dad?
That's how tired I am.
Watch the language, huh?
She's listening to music. Olive, I'll give you $1 million if you turn around. See?
All right, but the rest of us.
Oh, the rest of you.
To Dwayne.
Can I give you some advice? Well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. I don't want you making the same mistakes I made when I was young.
Can we hear this?
Dwayne, that's your name, right? Dwayne, this is the voice of experience talking. Are you listening? Fuck a lot of women, Dwayne.
Hey.
Not just one woman.
Dad.
A lot of women.
That's enough, right?
Are you getting any?
Dad.
You can tell me, Dwayne. Are you getting any?
Come on, please.
No? Jesus.
You're what?
15? My God, man.
Dad.
You should be getting that young
Dad.
Stuff. That young stuff
hey.
Is the best stuff in the whole world.
Hey, Dad, that's enough. Stop
Will
it.
Will you kindly not interrupt me, Richard? See, right now, you're jailbait, they're jailbait. It's perfect. I mean, you hit 18.
Man, you're talking about 3 to 5.
Hey, I will pull this truck over right now.
So pull the truck over. You're not going to shut me up. Fuck you. I can say what I want. I still got Nazi bullets in my ass.
Oh, the Nazi bullets.
You're as bad as those fuckers at Sunset Manor.
What happened at Sunset Manor?
Frank, don't encourage him.
What happened? I'll tell you what happened. I paid my money. They took my money. I should be able to do what the fuck I want.
He started snorting.
You started snorting heroin?
I'm old!
Well, that stuff will kill you.
What am I, an idiot? And don't you start taking that shit. When you're young, you're crazy to do that stuff.
What about you?
What about me? I'm old. When you get old, you're crazy not to do it.
We've tried, believe me. The intervention was a fiasco. It's worse than a 2-year-old.
Can we please talk about something else?
I take it you didn't like it at Sunset Manor.
Frank.
Are you kidding me? It was a fucking paradise. They got a pool. They got golf. Now I'm stuck with Mr. Happy here, sleeping on a fucking sofa.
Look,
I know you're a homo and all, but maybe you can appreciate this. You go to one of those places, there's 4 women for every guy. Can you imagine what that's like?
You must have been very busy.
Oh, I had second-degree burns on my Johnson, I kid you not.
Really?
Forget about it.
What are you guys talking about?
Politics.
Oh.
Olive slips her headphones back on. Grandpa turns to Dwayne.
Fuck a lot of women, kid. I have no reason to lie to you. Not one woman. A lot of women. You heard what I said? Did it go in anywhere?
Yeah, I think we get the point, Dad.
Don't show me the pad. I don't want to see the fucking pad.
Later, they all sit round a table in a diner.
Mom, how much can we spend?
I would say $4. Anything under $4.
Hi. You ready?
Yeah, I'm going to have the number 5 at the coffee place.
All right.
Number 7, over easy, and grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit?
I would like a fruit plate, and do you have chamomile?
Yes.
With honey, please.
I would like the lumberjack and coffee, and extra bacon.
Extra.
No, Dad, you should probably
Richard, don't start.
He's gonna kill himself.
Well, it's his life.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Garden salad?
Dwayne nods.
And you.
I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Don't apologize, Olive. It's a sign of weakness.
Well, I want, okay, I know what I want, Okay, can I get the, waffles and, I have a question, what does alamodi mean?
Oh, that means it comes with ice cream.
Okay, alamodi.
Olive for breakfast.
Said $4.
Okay, you're right. Okay, be right back.
Actually, Olive, alamode, in French, translates literally as in the fashion. A la mode. Mode is derived from Latin modus, meaning do or proper measure.
Frank, shut up.
Richard.
Olive, can I tell you a little something about ice cream?
Yeah.
Well, ice cream is made from cream, which comes from cow's milk, and cream has a lot of fat in it.
Richard.
What? She's gonna find out anyway, remember?
What? Find out what?
Well, when you eat ice cream, the fat in the ice cream becomes fat in your body.
Richard, I swear to God.
It's true.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
So if you eat a lot of ice cream, you might become fat, and if you don't, you're gonna stay nice and skinny, sweetie.
Olive, Richard is an idiot. I like a woman with meat on her bones.
I don't, why is everyone so upset?
No one's upset, honey. I just want you to understand it's okay to be skinny, and it's okay to be fat if that's what you want to be. Whatever you want, it's okay.
Okay, but Olive, let me ask you this. Those women in Miss America, are they skinny or are they fat? Honey?
Frank rolls his eyes and little Olive hunches her chubby shoulders.
They're skinny, I guess.
Yeah. Guess they don't eat a lot of ice cream.
Okay. Coffee? Grapefruit? Thank you. Chamomile? And here's your ice cream. A la mode, right? I'll be back with your waffles in a sec.
Olive considers the bowl of ice cream.
Does anyone want my ice cream?
Yeah, I like a little. Dwayne, Frank, Olive's not gonna have her ice cream.
Yeah, do you mind if I have a little
bit?
Yeah,
let's dig in.
That looks really good.
Boy, I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't want to enjoy their ice cream so early in the morning.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah. You sure you don't want to have some, Olive?
Ooh, look how
pretty that. Waffles are gonna be awful lonely in there.
Mm. Watch this.
Wait! Stop! Don't eat it all.
Olive, cradling the bowl, takes a spoonful and smiling, licks her lips.
All right, Olive.
Richard.
Dwayne blows a straw at his stepfather. Outside, Richard's on his mobile.
Hey, Dan! Dan, it's Richard. Again, listen, I know you're busy, but we're just dying to hear what sort of numbers you came up with in Scottsdale. So give me a call, please.
Hey, did you get him?
No, I can't get a signal out.
Cheryl sighs with mock sympathy and heads back to the van.
How long till we get there?
Long time, honey.
I know, but how long?
Well, we got to do 600 miles of driving today and 200 tomorrow. It's a lot of driving. Let's go.
Well, honey, I'll drive for a while.
No, I got it.
No, you're right. I got to learn how to do this. I mean, you're doing it. How hard can it be?
Cheryl tries to put the van in gear.
Push the stick down hard.
I'm pushing hard.
Okay, there you go. Now put the clutch in all the way to the floor.
It's on the floor.
Richard covers his ears with his hands. Later, he sits behind the wheel trying to get the van in gear while Cheryl, standing outside, watches with a thin smile.
Stick him on here.
Push down hard.
At a repair workshop.
Well, you got a problem. Your clutch is shut.
Can we get a new one?
These old buses, you have to order the part.
How long does it take?
Well, it's the weekend, so maybe Thursday.
Outside in the dusty workshop yard, Olive rolls a large truck tire like a hoop past Grandpa, who's sitting on two stacked tires, staring into space.
Oh.
Richard paces irritably.
Is there a dealership around here?
Well, they're probably going to be close. It's the weekend, you know.
Yes, we're aware of that.
I tell you what, you know these old buses? You don't need the clutch to change from the third to the fourth. You only really need the clutch to go from number one to number two. But as long as you keep parking on a hill and you let it go, and it goes 15, 20 miles per hour, you start it on third, and then you go from third to fourth.
What if you're not on a hill? There's no hill. What if there's no hill? What do you...
The mechanic looks at the family and grins. They all gather round the camper van.
Alan? Dad? I want you in the car first.
I know, we know.
All right, here we go.
Richard opens the driver's door.
Everybody push! All right. Here we go. Push!
The camper van starts rolling, Frank pushing and running next to Cheryl.
Okay, I just want everyone here to know that I am the preeminent Drew Scholar in the United States.
Come on, honey.
I'm putting it in gear.
Go, honey.
Ollie sprints alongside the van and Grandpa lifts her in through the side door. Cheryl races for the side door and leaps in. Frank, with chest puffed out, tries to out-sprint the van. Dwayne pushes Frank from behind. Frank tumbles inside.
Come on, come on, get in.
Dwayne jumps aboard.
No one gets left behind. No one gets left behind. Outstanding, soldier, outstanding.
Frank slaps the seat back triumphantly and grins at Dwayne. Grandpa slides the door shut.
Outstanding.
Was that fun?
The camper van heads on westward towards a range of low brown mountains. Olive sits with her headset on, playing with a small plastic picture puzzle. In the back, Grandpa sleeps, slack-jawed. Dwayne watches the landscape speed by. The landscape changes from sandy scrub to green fields as they near Phoenix and a turnoff for the Carefree Highway. Frank dozes with his forehead resting on his clenched fist. Grandpa amuses Olive by tossing popcorn into his mouth. The mood in the van is mellow. Later, Richard in the driver's seat talks to Frank, sitting behind him. Cheryl and Dwayne look like they have heard it all before. Grandpa is fast asleep.
So finally, I'm just sitting there, and I decide, you know, this is Stan Grossman. What the hell? And I start pitching him the nine steps, and about, I don't know, 2 minutes in, he stops me. He says, I can sell this.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and this is the guy who knows how to do it, you know? You start with a book, and then you do a media tour, corporate events, DVD, VHS series. I mean, there's a whole fascinating science into how you roll these things out.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's in Scottsdale right now, you know, building the buzz and kind of getting the whole hype thing going. He's doing what the pros call a ticking clock auction.
Oh, how about that?
Cheryl grins. Richard glances at Frank in the mirror.
Yeah, and I can detect that note of sarcasm there, Frank.
What sarcasm? I didn't hear.
But I want you to know something. I feel sorry for you.
You do? Good.
Yeah, I do. Because sarcasm is the refuge of losers.
It is? Really?
Yep. Sarcasm is losers trying to bring winners down to their level, and that's step four in the program.
Wow, Richard, you've really opened my eyes to what a loser I am. How much do I owe you for those pearls of
wisdom? Oh, that one's on the house, buddy.
It is?
Yeah, it's okay, on the house.
Guys,
that's on the house.
Wow. Hey,
that was for free.
No charge.
Stop You're
it.
Not
no
going to charge.
Stop it.
Laugh it up.
He started it.
That's. Oh, wait a second. Hey, quiet.
Bad.
This is it. This is that call. Hello? Stan?
Richard parks at the next service area and rushes to the nearest payphone.
Stan Grossman. Richard Hoover. Finally. How you doing? No, I know. We were on the highway and I lost you myself. Forget about it. How'd we do?
His expectant smile slowly fades as he listens. Cheryl steps down from the front seat of the van.
Honey, I'm going to use the ladies' room. You need to go?
No, I'm going to go practice my routine over there.
Okay, well, don't go too far.
Well, I think we just got to talk to him a little. No, you got to talk. No, Stan, listen to me. Hold on now.
I am going to get something to drink. Want anything?
Let's stay positive and on.
Yeah, give me some porn.
Okay.
Get me something really nasty, too. I don't want any of that airbrush shit.
Okay.
Okay, here's a 20. Get yourself a little treat, too. Get yourself a fag rag.
All right, I will.
Frank goes to the service station shop.
That one. Yes, and that one. And I would like that one. No, down. Yes.
Yes, yes, I would like that one. And I will have a blue raspberry slushy.
Frank?
A young man.
Oh my God, how are you? I thought you were gonna be in Santa Fe for the conference. I was looking for you.
Aren't you supposed to be in New Haven?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you heard about Larry and the whole genius thing, right?
Yeah.
It's official.
Oh, good.
So we're going to this private spa in Sedona for the week, and then...
Larry's here?
Yeah. He's out filling the tank. He's so...
Wow. Yeah, there he is.
Wow. I can't believe this. How have you been?
I've been fine.
Good, good. You know, I heard that you got fired.
Yeah, no, I quit. Enough is enough, you know?
Right. Good, good. So what are you up to now?
I'm weighing my options and, just, you know, taking some time off and so.
Great. That's great.
1979, sir.
Frank tries to stop his handsome former student seeing the girly mags he's bought Grandpa.
So.
The young man gives him a strange look.
Well, it was great to see you
yeah,
again.
Yeah, you too.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
The former student goes. Frank, who's been standing with his bandaged hands firmly behind his back, tosses Grandpa's $20 bill on the counter, his expression woeful. As he goes towards the door, he sees the athletic young man eagerly getting into an open-top Jaguar and the man in the driver's seat craning his head round towards the shop. Frank ducks out of sight.
Hey, you forgot your slushie.
Back at the phone booth.
You're in Scottsdale right now, right? Okay, I can come by. I'm gonna be coming through there. I could swing right by.
Richard thumps the kiosk.
Christ, he's not getting it.
Grandpa drops his head despondently. Frank comes back. He slings the bag of magazines onto Grandpa's lap and slumps into his seat. Cheryl strides up to Richard, who is frowning.
So what happened?
Nothing. Let's get out of here.
Wait a minute. I thought you said this was a done deal.
He said it was a done deal.
What, you didn't get anything? Oh, my God. Where does that leave us?
Fucked. It's where it leaves us.
I can't believe I'm hearing that. Did you even try negotiating?
Of course I tried. What do you think I...
They're back at the camper van.
Let's just go, okay? Let's go. Come on.
He climbs back into the driver's seat. Cheryl glares at him.
Let's go!
She stays rooted to the spot. Then, without taking her eyes off Richard, slowly and reproachfully walks around to the passenger side, climbs in and stares out of the windscreen. Richard, his jaw tensing, releases the handbrake and the camper van slowly rolls forward. Back on the road, Dwayne, in the back seat, looks up from his book, glances round, scribbles something on his notepad, and shows it to Frank.
Where's Olive?
Cheryl whips round.
Oh.
Back at the service station, Olive smiles cheerfully as the camper van reappears, but looks puzzled when it doesn't stop. Frank slides open the door and holds out his hand.
What, Olive?
Hey, jump in the car!
The Volkswagen roars out of the service station and back onto the highway, heading towards California. In the passenger seat, Cheryl's eyes start to droop. Richard grips the steering wheel grimly. Grandpa clambers forward and kneels behind the two front seats.
Richard.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, you try to do something on your own, which is more than most people ever do. And I include myself in that category. You took a big chance, and it took guts, and I'm proud of you.
Okay, Dad, thank you.
Cheryl glances across at Richard and his father. Grandpa puts a hand on Richard's shoulder. Richard lifts a hand from the steering wheel, and Grandpa squeezes it.
Thank you, Dad.
Cheryl glances at her father-in-law as he goes back to his seat and stares ahead pensively. The camper van carries on across the flat Arizona landscape towards the setting sun. As the light fades, they arrive at a town, check into a motel, and unload their luggage. They climb to the upper floor of the faceless building, and Cheryl hands out room keys as they make their way along the balcony corridor in single file.
Grandpa's 13.
Can I sleep with Grandpa tonight?
Well, you'll have to ask Grandpa.
Grandpa?
We got two beds. You could still use some rehearsing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Cheryl opens the first door and lets Grandpa and Olive in. Frank and Dwayne go into the next room.
All right, everybody, we have a long day tomorrow, so I'll knock on your doors at 7 a.m. That means no lollygagging. Packed and on the road by 7:40, guys.
Frank, you guys will be okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay, well, good night.
Good night.
Sleep tight.
Okay.
Cheryl opens the door to hers and Richard's room. Richard follows her in, swings a large holdall off his shoulder and closes the door. He looks round the room and slumps against the door.
What a fucking nightmare.
Richard, We have to talk.
Please. Cheryl, let's just get through this and go home.
Next door, Dwayne lies morosely on his bed listening to the angry voices. Frank comes through from the bathroom.
Hey, don't listen to that. Let's turn on the tube.
We enthusiastically agree that the right man to preserve the best traditions.
He tosses the remote to Dwayne.
Secretary Rumsfeld and I thought long and hard about this important choice. To meet the...
You said this was a lot, Richard. You said it was a done deal.
Stan Grossman said it was a done deal.
I'm not married to Stan Grossman.
I trusted him, all right? You gotta trust in order to be trusted. That's step six.
Oh, that's the nine steps, Richard.
Dwayne lies back with his hands behind his head. A slow smile spreads across his face. In the other room, Olive and Grandpa sit on their beds facing each other, pretending to be wild cats, roaring and slashing with their claws.
Perfect, perfect. You're the world champion growler. Time for your beauty rest. Get in there.
He tosses a top hat onto her head. She crawls into bed, and he pulls the covers up around her.
There you go. Good night.
Grandpa?
Yeah?
I'm kind of scared about tomorrow.
Are you kidding me? You're gonna blow them out of the water. They're not gonna know what hit them.
Grandpa?
Yeah.
Am I pretty?
Olive?
He sits beside her.
You are the most beautiful girl in the whole world.
Man, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I'm madly in love with you. And it's not because of your brains or your personality. It's because you're beautiful, inside and out.
He goes to get up.
Grandpa?
What?
Behind her specs, Olive's eyes fill with tears.
I don't want to be a loser.
You're not a loser. Where'd you get the idea you're a loser?
Because Dad hates losers.
Whoa. Back up a minute. You know what a loser is? A real loser is somebody that's so afraid of not winning, they don't even try. Now, you're trying, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you're not a loser. We're gonna have fun tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
She takes off her specs.
We can tell them all to go to hell. Good night, sweetie. I love you.
Olive wipes away her tears, turns on her side and closes her eyes. In their room, Richard and Cheryl sit on opposite sides of their double bed with their backs to each other. Richard runs his hand through his hair. Abruptly, he starts pulling on his trainers.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna fix this.
He grabs his wristwatch.
Richard.
Cheryl kneels on the bed imploringly.
I'm gonna fix this.
He takes the van keys from the bedside table and throws a jacket on over his Hawaiian shirt and shorts. Outside, Richard leaps into the VW and turns on the headlights. He releases the handbrake. Richard jumps out and starts to push, holding on to the open door and the steering wheel.
Here we go.
The engine stalls. Richard lowers his head onto the steering wheel, then opens his eyes and looks across the motel courtyard. In the far corner, he sees a group of teenagers with motor scooters. Richard walks towards them.
Hi.
He smiles meekly. A little while later, he is riding down the road on an underpowered moped. On his head, he wears a black coal scuttle-style biker's helmet. A road sign reads Scottsdale, 23 miles. In his room, Frank studies a photo of himself and the young student at a party, both in dinner jackets. He puts the photo back into his wallet and switches off the bedside light. Grandpa locks the door to the bathroom. He unzips his pouch, opens his leather billfold, and takes out a phial of white powder. On the balcony outside her room, Cheryl, in white toweling robe, is smoking a cigarette. Richard, in biker's helmet, zipper jacket and shorts, arrives at the porticoed entrance of a hotel and conference centre whose illuminated sign reads Desert Courtyard Suites, Welcome Dynamic Strategies Expo. He parks the moped on its stand. In the lobby, he picks up a house phone.
Hi, Stan Grossman, please.
He listens and closes his eyes in frustration.
Stan, it's Richard. I don't know where the fuck you are. I'm at the hotel. Call me.
He pulls out his mobile and dials. He frowns and searches for the phone ringing somewhere nearby.
So he's standing at home, he says to me. The book is really a memoir from my life experience. His life is 20.
Bearded Stan Grossman glances at his mobile and silences it.
So I said, you want me to teach you about life experiences? You sit down. You can write a book about my experiences. Well, so he says to me.
Grossman turns from the people he's with to find Richard standing behind him.
Hello, Stan.
You're the one that said it would sell.
That's what I thought at the time.
But it's a great program. You said so yourself. I mean, I don't understand.
It's not the program, Richard. It's you.
Okay?
No one's heard of you. Nobody cares.
They're standing by the floodlit hotel swimming pool. Richard looks away and closes his eyes as he considers his response.
What's the next step?
There is none. We had our shot. It didn't fly. We move on.
You mean give up? Richard. Hey, one setback here and you're ready to just quit?
Richard, listen. I pushed this thing hard, okay? I rammed it down their fucking throats, and no one bought it. It's time to move on. You're not gonna win this one.
Richard turns away and paces.
Okay. You know what? Good. I'm glad. You know why? Because this is what the nine steps are all about. Right here, Richard. Stan. Right here.
Richard, please.
Yeah, no, you blew it. You blew it, you're out.
On the highway, a huge truck roars past Richard on the moped and the picture fades to black.
Mom? Dad?
Richard and Cheryl are still asleep.
What is that?
Grandpa won't wake up.
In bright sunshine, Richard, bleary-eyed, follows an ambulance down the road in the camper van. In a hospital waiting room, he sits apart from Cheryl and Frank. All three look glum. Dwayne gazes out of a window. Olive inspects some leaflets on eye testing.
Want to take an eye test? Uncle Frank, an eye test.
Olive, come here. Doze away. We're going to have a family meeting. Dwayne, family meeting.
Dwayne and Olive sit down next to their mother. Richard gets to his feet.
First of all, the doctors are doing everything they can to help Grandpa right now. He's had a long, eventful life. And I know he loves both of you very much. But if God wants to take him, we have to be ready to accept that, okay? Whatever happens, we are family. And what's important is that we love each other. So I love you guys so, so much.
Dwayne looks away expressionlessly. Cheryl buries her face in her hands. Frank pats her knee. Dwayne takes out his notepad and writes on it. He taps Olive on the knee and shows her what he's written. It says, "Go hug Mom." Olive goes over to Cheryl and hugs her. Next to them, Richard stands facing the wall, leaning on it with his hand. A doctor comes in.
Are you the family of Edwin Hoover?
Yes.
He comes towards Richard. The others stand up.
I'm sorry. We did everything we could. He was, that was too much. He probably just fell asleep and never woke up.
Cheryl strokes Olive's hair.
I'll have someone come talk to you about handling the remains.
The family members stand in a semicircle, as if in a daze.
Thank you.
The doctor turns discreetly away, walks slowly towards an adjoining room, and pops his head through the doorway.
Linda!
He hurries from the room. The family barely notice. Dwayne goes back to the window.
Mom? Is Grandpa dead?
Yeah, honey. He passed away.
Cheryl sits and pulls Olive onto her lap. They both sob. Olive's lip trembles. Richard closes his eyes and swallows hard. A young black woman in a beige suit jacket appears in the room, clutching a folder, and visibly adopts a sympathetic expression.
Hi. I'm your bereavement liaison, Linda.
Richard comes towards her.
My consolations for your loss.
Thank you.
Okay, these are the forms you need to fill out. Death certificate. A report of death. An ME pink slip. Please try and be as detailed as possible.
Okay.
This is a brochure for a grief recovery support group that meets on Tuesdays. And if you'd like at this time, I can refer you to a funeral home so you can begin making your arrangements.
Actually, pre-arrangements have already been made in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque?
We're actually on our way to California right now.
If the body is crossing state lines, you're going to need a burial transit permit from the county registrar's office.
Okay, but we're trying to get to Redondo Beach by 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock today? Ain't going to happen.
Richard takes her aside.
Okay, can I just... I know that this is, this might be a little unusual, but if maybe we could just go, and then we'll come back, and we'll take care of all the paperwork, and, you know...
No, you can't just abandon the body.
No. I nobody's going to abandon the body. We're just
going to
go and come back.
The hospital becomes responsible.
Back. We're going to go and come
sir,
back.
Sir, there are ways we
you're
have of doing things.
You're not following me.
Sir,
I don't think
sir,
you're listening.
Sir,
no,
you
we're
are not the only
back.
One that's had somebody die here today, okay?
Frank turns sharply to Dwayne, but Dwayne remains deadpan. Linda nods her head assertively at Richard, who glances back at his family.
Is there any way we might be able to view the remains?
Linda leads the family through the hospital.
We haven't had a chance to move them downstairs. So someone may come in a few minutes to take them to the basement. Just tell them who you are and they will wait.
Thank you.
Okay? And when you're done with the paperwork, I'll be at the nurse's station.
Great. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
She ushers them into the cubicle, then strides away with brisk indifference. Grandpa's body is on a trolley covered by a sheet. Richard, Dwayne, and Frank stand on one side, Cheryl on the other, with her hands on Olive's shoulders. Richard puts down the hospital forms he's been given, crosses to the trolley, and lifts the corner of the sheet. Cheryl watches him expectantly. Dwayne and Frank stare at the floor. Richard lowers the sheet and stands with his hands on the side of the trolley.
God damn it, Dan. God damn it. Stupid.
He turns away, hands to his head, and slams his hands down on a shelf by the window. Cheryl bends down to Olive.
We'll go to Little Miss Sunshine next year, okay, honey? Next year.
Richard ponders and his weary eyes narrow.
No. No. We've come 700 miles. I will be damned if I'm not making that contest, Cheryl.
Well, Richard, we can't leave him here.
Richard dumps the forms in a bin.
We're not gonna leave him.
He checks the corridor.
Richard, what are you doing?
Fuck.
He comes back into the cubicle, draws back the blinds at the window and opens it.
Wayne, go around outside.
Richard, what are you thinking?
We're gonna take him with us.
No, that is not happening. That is not happening.
Yeah, well, he's better off with us than these people. I want you to go around outside underneath this window. Frank, you go
with him. Dwayne, don't you dare move. No, honey, look, you stay here. We'll take Olive. Frank can drive.
No, Cheryl. We'll be there in 2 hours. Listen to me. I'll call a funeral home once we get there. If there's one thing my father would have wanted, it's to see Olive perform in the Little Miss Sunshine pageant. Now, I believe we'd be doing grave disservice to his memory if we were to just give up now. All right? There's two kinds of people in this world. There's winners and there's losers. Okay? And you know what the difference is? Winners don't give up. So what are we here? Are we winners or are we losers? Huh?
Okay. Good. Let's do it. You guys go. I'll let you watch the curtain.
Frank and Dwayne, nodding their agreement, slip out of the cubicle and down the corridor past Linda, who's on the phone. Richard sends Olive to peep through the cubicle curtains.
Watch. Get the back.
He and Cheryl wrap Grandpa's body in the sheet. Frank and Dwayne struggle with the door, find a release button and slip out. Appearing beneath the window of Grandpa's cubicle.
It's very heavy.
Frank checks the coast is clear. Richard and Cheryl lift the body. With the body halfway out of the window, Cheryl and Olive dash out of the cubicle.
Okay, he's slipping.
Richard half lowers, half drops the body down to Frank and Dwayne. Cheryl arrives to help them. They set off through the car park carrying Grandpa's body like a rolled up carpet.
Watch Olive.
They reach the camper van. Dwayne unlocks it while Olive keeps watch. Richard runs up. Richard opens the driver's door and turns on the ignition.
Swing around this way. Olive, get in.
There you go.
Richard starts to push. Dwayne and Frank slam the back door and join in, pushing the van.
Let's go, Frank.
Did I mention that I'm the preeminent Bruce scholar in the U.S.?
Here we go.
Dwayne and Frank leap inside. Out on the near empty road, the VW van drives under highways, overpasses and interchanges.
Dad?
Yeah, hi.
What's gonna happen to Grandpa?
Richard frowns and bites his lip. Cheryl looks at him sympathetically. He focuses on the road ahead and drives on. In the back seat, Dwayne is asleep. Snake-like, the concrete overpass twists and turns above their heads in the harsh sunlight.
Uncle Frank?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a heaven?
It's hard to say, Olive. I don't think anyone knows for sure.
I know, but what do you think?
Well...
I think there is one.
You think I'll get in?
Yes.
You promise?
Yes.
Frank and Olive smile at each other, both reassured. The freeway gets busier as they approach Los Angeles. Cheryl puts her hand on Richard's shoulder and strokes his arm as he drives.
He cut me off.
Their horn keeps blaring. Richard slaps the steering wheel.
Okay, just leave it.
Stuck or something.
Maybe try pulling it further here.
No, just leave it. Fix it when we get there.
Okay, fine.
Oh, Jesus. God. I'm being pulled over. Here we go. Okay. Everybody, just pretend to be normal, okay? Like everything's normal here.
A pot-bellied state trooper motorcyclist pulls up behind the camper and comes over to the driver's side. Richard rolls down the window.
How you folks doing?
Yeah, we're fine. Just
A little trouble with the horn.
What?
A little trouble with your horn.
Yeah. A little trouble. Sorry. Sorry.
Could you step outside the vehicle?
Richard gets out. The highway patrol officer steps towards the back of the camper van.
Step this way, please.
No, no.
What?
Don't.
Don't what?
The officer glances into the back of the camper.
Do you have something in your trunk, sir?
It's nothing. Don't open it.
Sir, do you realize you've just given me probable cause to search your trunk?
Sir,
put your hands on the vehicle now! Now! Don't move.
Okay.
The officer goes to the back of the camper.
It's not illegal.
Sir, I would advise you to keep your mouth shut.
What is he doing?
The officer opens the tailgate. Something falls out onto the road.
God damn.
Ignoring the bundle wrapped in the white sheet, he stoops down and picks the items up.
Sir, could you come back here?
With a look of dread, Richard goes to the back of the van. The officer is examining the girly mags Frank bought for Grandpa.
Oh, I love this stuff. I love it. God bless you. God bless you. Don't worry, I'm not gonna bust you.
Thank you.
The officer waves leerily at Cheryl.
Hey, Dima.
Cheryl waves back, cautiously.
Cute family, it's nice.
Thank you.
You're this on the side of the list. Oh,
yes.
Oh,
sweet. Sweetness.
That is sweet. Yeah.
Dirty.
And this one is one of my favorite. Ah, good, yeah.
He finds the gay mag.
That's a little different choice.
Richard raises his eyebrows and shrugs, man to man. The officer hands him the game mag called Buns and Ammo.
I'll leave that with you.
All right.
You have a good day there.
Yeah.
Richard closes the tailgate. He gives Frank a look as he steps back to the driver's door and climbs inside.
What happened?
I'll tell you when I regain consciousness.
The patrolman rides away.
Frank, Dwayne, get up, push.
Dwayne, Frank, and Cheryl push from the back of the camper. Richard pushes from the driver's door. They reach the outskirts of L.A.
Okay, there it is. Redondo Beach, 46.
It's 2:15. Maybe a few minutes late.
Now, Richard, they said 3 o'clock sharp. They were very explicit. We can't cross these people. Trust me.
Mom, Dwayne has 20/20 vision.
I bet he does.
Okay, now I'm going to check to see if you're colorblind.
Olive produces a test chart.
What's the letter in the circle?
She shows Dwayne the leaflet she took from the hospital.
No. Inside the circle. Right there. See? It's an A. Can't you see it? Right there.
Dwayne takes the chart and looks at it.
It's bright green.
Dwayne looks at the circle of colored dots and shakes his head. Frank says, "Oh man," under his breath and looks away. Dwayne takes out his pad and writes, "What?"
Dwayne, I think you might be colorblind.
Dwayne looks at him puzzled and holds out the word "what" again. Frank bites his lip.
You can't fly jets if you're colorblind.
Dwayne's dull eyes mist up as Frank's words sink in. Frank glances at Olive and turns away. Dwayne starts slamming his head into the window at his side, his expression distraught.
We've got a little bit of... got an emergency back here. I think we just need to
pull over.
What is
it, man? Just pull
over.
What's the emergency?
Pull over.
Okay, we're late, as it is.
It's all right, man. Dwayne. It's all right.
Hold on. The emergency is...
Just pull over.
Dwayne tries to get to the side door.
Wait, sit down.
God, this better be good.
I'm pulling over.
All right.
Stop the car.
Okay.
It's gonna be okay,
Dwayne.
Do not open the
door.
Stop it.
Oh, God. Dwayne races down an embankment, his mouth gaping.
Fuck!
What happened?
He's colorblind. He can't fly.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Dwayne has fallen to his knees. Richard takes a step towards him. Cheryl holds him back.
No, just give him a second.
They watch helplessly from the roadside as Dwayne presses his head to the ground, his hands balled into tight fists. Cheryl makes her way down towards him. Dwayne sits on the ground with his back to her, hands on his knees.
Dwayne?
She stops a few paces behind him.
Dwayne, honey, I'm sorry. Dwayne, come on, we have to go.
I'm not going.
Dwayne.
I said I'm not. Okay, I don't care, I'm not getting on that bus again.
Dwayne, for better or worse, we're your family.
No, you're not my family. Okay, I don't want to be your family. I hate you fucking people. I hate you! Divorce? Bankrupt? Suicide? You fucking losers, you losers!
Cheryl takes a step towards him.
No, please just leave me here, Mom. Okay, please, please, please. Please just leave me here.
He sits on the ground with his back to her. Cheryl stands looking at him, her hands pressed to her mouth, then slowly walks back up to the others.
Shit.
Dwayne slams a stone into the ground at his side.
I don't know what to do.
Well, it's getting late. Maybe can somebody stay here with him?
I'll stay.
That is not happening.
Richard checks his watch.
All right, well. Just worried about the time. Olive, you want to try talking to him?
Richard, no, there's nothing to say. We just have to wait. Honey...
Olive has already started making her way unsteadily down the steep bank towards Dwayne. He's sitting with his back to her, arms resting on his knees, gazing at the rocky soil at his feet, and doesn't turn as she comes near. Dressed in her red t-shirt, pink shorts and red cowboy boots, her long hair tied back, her huge glasses perched on her nose, Olive squats at Dwayne's side. She puts her arm around him and rests her head on his shoulder. His head turns slightly towards her.
Okay. Let's go.
Olive stands up and Dwayne gets to his feet and goes with her to the bottom of the slope. Olive starts to climb, putting out her hand for support. Dwayne lifts her up underneath her arms and carries her to the top of the slope. She goes to her mother's side. Dwayne stands a few feet down the bank, looking up at the family.
I apologize for the things I said. I was upset, and I didn't really mean them.
It's okay, come on. Let's go.
Dwayne submits to Cheryl's hug as he gets back into the van.
255.
All right, everybody look for the exit, okay?
Dwayne lies on his back on the rear seats.
Okay, here is the turnoff. Turn in here.
Does anybody see the Redondo Suites?
There's the hotel.
There it
sunshine.
Is.
There
it is, Olive. We're gonna make it.
The exit ramp takes them past the hotel.
How the hell do you get over there? Cheryl?
Richard turns off.
Put your seatbelt on, baby.
What are you doing?
I can't slow down. I can't. What time is it, Frank?
2:59.
Dad!
Straight shot from here. We're going to make it.
Oh, it's a dead end.
I'm not going back.
Richard, you have to go back.
That is a one-way road. That will take us all the way back to the freeway.
I'm going to get there. All right.
You're the one who told me to go left back there.
Richard,
I'm not turning back.
Richard!
Oh.
Richard drives over a flower bed onto the road to the hotel.
What are you doing? You can't do this.
God, Richard.
Okay, here's the hotel.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. No.
What? Where's the entrance?
Right here.
Richard does a tight U-turn.
Here we go, one more time. Loop up.
They bounce across a curb into the hotel car park. The side door of the camper van falls off as Frank leaps out and races towards the hotel. Cheryl lifts Olive down and runs after him. He rushes up to a set of automatic doors and slows to let them open. Following signs to the Little Miss Sunshine pageant, Frank scoots through a foyer decorated with balloons, up a flight of stairs, into a room full of young contestants getting into their pageant costumes and excited parents milling about. He makes his way to a registration table where a woman in a floaty dress and stiff, flicked-up hair is putting folders in a box.
Hello? Hi, we'd like to register?
Oh, sorry, we're closed.
No, we have the entrance right here. You just want to check in?
A registration ended at 3.
Well, it's 3 o'clock now.
No.
Oh, come on, have a heart. We're 4 minutes late. We just drove all the way from Albuquerque.
Then you should have been here by 3.
Wait. There must be some way we can work this out. Please.
Everybody else was here before 3. I'd be giving unfair advantage.
No, we're not looking for an advantage. We just want her to compete. That's it.
Don't yell at me, sir. I didn't make you late. We've settled on the schedule for the show. We've turned off the computers. Our lineup is finalized, and I have a hair check to do.
Okay.
I'm sorry that you're late, but I can't help you.
Richard sinks to his knees in front of her.
Please. You don't know what we've been through.
She looks around, embarrassed, and tries to pull her hand from his.
Miss Jenkins? I can put him in the system.
Oh, Kirby, you don't have to.
No, it's okay. It's 5 minutes.
Well, it's your time. Excuse me.
Thank you, Kirby. Thank you very much.
Really? You don't know what this means?
Please, it's only 5 minutes. I'm not working for these people next year. These people are crazy. Okay, so, what's your name? That's a nice name.
Look! Yeah. It's Miss California. Look, it's really her.
You want to go say hi?
They line up to meet her. Dwayne arrives in the suite and gazes around as if he's just beamed down to an alien planet.
Hi, what's your name?
Olive.
What's your talent, Olive?
I like dancing.
Dancing was too hard for me. I'm a singer. You must be a good dancer.
I am. I'm really good.
I bet you are. Well, thanks for stopping by, Olive. Best of luck.
Miss California hands Olive a signed photograph.
Miss California? Do you need ice cream?
I love ice cream. My favorite flavor is chocolate cherry Garcia, although technically I think that's a frozen yogurt. Okay?
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Mom, she eats ice cream.
I heard.
Your packet has tickets in it and your badge number. Okay, is there anything else? Yeah. Is there a funeral home around here?
Cheryl and Olive come into a room where the contestants are preparing. In a curtained booth, a girl is being air sprayed with instant tan. Another girl is having her blonde hair teased and dressed.
Hi.
A third girl with her hair in rollers is being made up.
Okay, Olive, let's get your swimsuit on. You want to get changed behind the curtain?
This is the last touch-up, everybody. Final touch-ups. Last touch-up.
Olive slips behind a curtained partition. Dwayne and Frank are sitting in armchairs in the hotel foyer. Frank leafs through the book review section of a newspaper. He turns a page and finds a full-page advert headed "The Surprise Bestseller from America's Number One Proust Scholar," with a photo of author Larry Sugarman and his book Understanding Proust. Frank, pursing his lips, bitterly tosses aside the paper. Two small girls run by in spangly frocks. Dwayne looks over at Frank.
Let's get out of here.
And he gets out of his seat. Backstage, Kirby from the registration desk hurries over.
Hey, Olive Hoover. Hey, I need your music.
Music,
yeah.
Music.
Olive stretches across her mother, delves into her backpack, brings out her portable CD player and takes out the CD.
Here.
This? Did you choose this?
No, my grandpa did.
Your grandpa? Which track?
12.
We're driving 5-6 hours. Thought he was napping. By the time we figured it out, it's, you know,
too late. So where's the body?
Richard opens the tailgate for a man from a funeral home. He and a colleague peer at the bundled up body in the sheet and look back at Richard. They load the corpse into their truck.
Personal effects.
Thank you.
You take care.
You too.
Richard looks down at the small black box he has been handed and turns to watch the black van pull away from the car park. He looks down at the box between his fingers and he blinks mournfully. In the packed pageant auditorium, a glittering pink and gold archway stands on a brightly lit stage. Richard takes an aisle seat near a muscly guy with a moustache.
She was scared, but she did very well. Was she?
An MC with a broad white smile, dark tuxedo and gold bow tie steps on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 24th annual Little Miss Sunshine pageant! Yes! Now please put your hands together once again and help me welcome to the stage our 12 beautiful contestants!
A young girl in a pink swimsuit and back-combed long blonde hair sashays onto the stage and poses, eyelids fluttering. Each successive girl seems to have more makeup and bigger hair. Their mothers applaud adoringly. Richard watches with an uneasy smile. Olive steps onto stage. Next to the others, she looks like an ordinary little girl with a bit of puffy fat. Her hair is pulled back in her straight ponytail. Her face wears no makeup and her walk has none of the hip-swinging, cat-walking sexiness of the other girls, who each take a turn in the spotlight, flouncing their hair, pouting their lips, flashing their teeth and fluttering their mascara-coated eyes. Richard looks increasingly uneasy. Olive is the last to take her turn at the front of the stage. Olive, in her plain red and white swimsuit over her rounded little body, walks to the front of the stage and turns this way and that in front of the judges' table. She smiles nervously at Richard, who applauds enthusiastically. Olive goes back and stands in line with the other girls.
Oh, let's have a big round of applause for our lovely contestants! At the end of the evening, one of these girls will be crowned Little Miss Sunshine!
Back in the changing room, Olive, with her specs back on, looks at herself critically in the mirror and tries to suck her tummy in.
Olive, honey, are you okay in there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
In the hall, Richard turns to the big guy next to him.
Hey.
The man takes out an earplug.
What? You got a kid in the show? First time? Yeah.
The shaven-headed biker dad turns away with a knowing snort, replaces his earplug and folds his arms.
For Purple Mountain
Majesty.
The MC walks behind the lineup of girls now in party frocks and sings to each of them in turn. They smile rigidly.
America, America, God shed his grace on.
Richard covers his gritted teeth with his hand and tries not to grimace.
By good with brotherhood from.
The MC sings his last line to Olive, who looks at him kindly.
See America! It's so beautiful!
Outside, at the end of a pier.
Sometimes I just wish I could go to sleep till I was 18. Skip all this crap, high school and everything. Just skip it.
Dwayne looks down into the water.
You know Marcel Proust?
He's the guy you teach.
Yeah, French writer. Total loser. Never had a real job. Unrequited love affairs. Gay. Spent 20 years writing a book almost no one reads. But he's also probably the greatest writer since Shakespeare. Anyway, he He gets down to the end of his life, and he looks back and decides that all those years he suffered, those were the best years of his life, because they made him who he was. All the years he was happy, you know, total waste. Didn't learn a thing. So, if you sleep until you're 18, think of the suffering you're gonna miss. I mean, high school? High school, those are your prime suffering years. They don't get better suffering than that.
Dwayne, leaning down over the railing, grins.
You know what?
He straightens up.
Fuck beauty contests. Life is one fucking beauty contest after another. You know, school, then college, then work? Fuck that. And fuck the Air Force Academy. If I want to fly, I'll find a way to fly. You do what you love, and fuck the rest.
Frank looks over at him. Their eyes meet briefly, and Frank nods to himself.
Glad you're talking again, Dwayne. You're not nearly as stupid as you look.
Dwayne's face cracks into a smile. He looks at Frank, who grins at him and turns to gaze out over the water.
Want to go back?
Not really. Yeah, we should go.
Frank leads the way back.
And now, the moment we've all been waiting for. The talent competition.
A ringleted blonde sings. A little girl in a blue and yellow peaked cap and flared trouser suit performs a disco routine with a touch of Shirley Temple doing a lot of saluting. The parents around Richard clap in time with the music. Richard scratches his cheek with a wry smile. Next up is a yodeling cowgirl with a Stetson hat and dark plaits. The next one, wearing a black and blue tutu with glittering black and silver tights, arrives on stage doing a series of backflips. Richard's mouth drops as he watches. The MC bobs along in delight and the audience rise to their feet to applaud.
Wow! Funkylicious!
Dwayne and Frank arrive back in the foyer, open the door to the auditorium and slip inside. On stage is a twirling Mexican-style cowgirl. Dwayne and Frank slip out of the hall, Frank running his hand through his hair, his eyes staring.
I'm going backstage.
Yeah, right, see ya.
Backstage, Olive comes out of the changing room.
Oh, look at you. Is that your costume?
It's a black waistcoat, shapeless white shirt, red tie and loose trousers. Richard comes up.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, I just came to wish Olive good luck. How you doing, honey?
Good.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, you're gonna do great. I just know it. Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
They step aside.
What's up?
I don't want her to go on.
Dwayne arrives backstage.
Are you authorized to be backstage?
No. Hey, where's the dressing rooms?
Are you allowed to be here?
Just tell me where the dressing rooms are. We're not in Albuquerque.
It's all right, we'll get next time. Hey, how are you feeling?
Better. Where's Olive?
Here, what's up?
Mom, I don't want Olive doing this.
Oh, my God.
Look around. Oh, this place is fucked.
Great.
Look, I don't want these people judging Olive. Fuck them.
Listen, it is too late.
No, it's not too late. You're the mom, and you're supposed to protect her. Everyone is gonna laugh at her, Mom. Please don't let her do this.
Olive Hoover, 2 minutes.
Look, she's not a beauty queen. She's just not. I'm gonna tell her.
No, no, Dwayne, you listen to me. Olive is who she is. She has worked so hard, she's poured everything into this. We can't just take it away from her. We can't. I know you want to protect her, I know, honey, but we gotta let Olive be Olive.
Olive Hoover, are you the family?
Yeah. Okay. Olive, it's time. You okay?
Yeah.
We gotta go now.
Yeah, hang on. Olive, look at me. If you don't want to do this, that's okay. If you want to sit this one out,
It's totally fine by us. We're proud of you anyway.
We gotta go.
Olive turns away from Cheryl and carefully considers.
It's time.
Solemnly, she takes off her glasses, picks up a top hat and puts it on. The stage manager glances at her watch. Olive stands up.
Ready? Let's go.
She takes the stage manager's hand and they go. Richard shrugs helplessly. He stands with Cheryl and Dwayne watching Olive striding off down the corridor with the stage manager towering over her.
Good luck, honey. Copy that. 25 is performance ready and we're walking. As fast as we can.
The family run to the auditorium.
Is she going on?
She's going on.
Frank follows them through the doors.
Your fairy tale magic, Miss Charisma Whiteman. Wasn't that a Stardust fantasy? Thank you for that. You have been such a patient audience. We have one more contestant, and then we'll be crowning our winner. Please give a warm welcome to Miss Olive Hoover.
Olive steps through the archway onto stage in her top hat over a red Alice band with her hair loose. Gold trainers peeping out from under her overlong black jogging pants. She beckons to the MC. He comes over, bending down to her level.
Okay.
I'd like to dedicate this to my grandpa, who showed me these moves.
Oh, that is so sweet. Is he here? Where's your grandpa right now?
In the trunk of our car.
Okay. Well, take it away, Olive.
Olive turns her back to the audience and stands in the archway. She wraps her arms around herself, so from the audience it looks as if someone is stroking her. Smiling, she raises her hands above her head and brings them slowly down by her side, bucking her hips in time with the music. Cheryl's eyes widen in surprise. Olive thrusts out her bottom and slaps each buttock in turn. Cheryl looks at Richard uneasily. Olive turns, throws her top hat into the wings, struts to the front of the catwalk, grabs at her trousers and they come apart to the sound of ripping Velcro. Cheryl puts her hands over her mouth. Olive swings the trousers around her head. Underneath, she's wearing frilly red knickers and black knee pads. The two younger women at the judges' table look amused, but Miss Jenkins, the prim, stiff-haired older woman, seems shocked. Some of the older teenage contestants start to file out. Frank stands and claps supportively in time with the music. Olive holds her tie between her teeth and rips off her shirt and waistcoat. Richard shakes his head. Underneath, Olive wears a spangly gold belt and black sequin top. She turns and wiggles her bottom at the audience. At the judges' table, Miss Jenkins puts her head in her hand. Looking round defiantly, Richard stands up and starts to clap with the music. Olive tosses her tie at the judges' table where it hits Miss Jenkins, who gets up and marches over to where Cheryl, Frank and Richard are now all on their feet, clapping to the music. Olive spins round and round, keeping her balance. Miss Jenkins looks accusingly at Richard.
What is your daughter doing?
Richard looks at Olive, who's running on the spot, pulling her hands through her long hair. He turns dismissively to Miss Jenkins. On her hands and knees, Olive is crawling forward and snarling like a tiger. Dwayne is also on his feet as Miss Jenkins storms into the wings and hisses at the MC. Richard sprints down to the stage.
Hey! Hey, let go of my daughter!
He wrestles with the MC.
Just let her finish!
Olive backs into the wings. Two pageant officials drag Richard off the MC.
Help! Get off me!
Olive resumes her routine.
Get your daughter off this stage right now!
Richard slowly steps onto the stage towards his dancing daughter.
Honey?
He stands behind her. She high steps, hands clasped above her head. Cheryl pulls a worried face. In the wings, Ms. Jenkins gestures insistently to Richard, who starts to bob his head and jerk his arms to the beat. Behind Ms. Jenkins, the stage manager giggles. In the auditorium, Cheryl grins. Frank jumps up on stage, glares pointedly at Miss Jenkins and joins in the disco dancing. Dwayne jumps up and starts to groove. Cheryl claps her hands and laughs. With the three men doing their moves behind her, Olive carries on with her routine. Cheryl runs down the aisle and joins the family. She grabs Olive by the hand and spins her round and round. Miss Jenkins catches the young stage manager grinning and gives her a murderous look. On stage, the family join hands in a circle around a head-banging Dwayne. Some of the audience get up to leave. Others stare open-mouthed. Olive grins happily as she finishes her routine. Kirby, who's operating the sound system, leads the applause. The shaven-headed biker dad leaps to his feet and punches both arms in the air.
Yeah! All right!
The family sit on a bench outside a glass-walled office. Behind them, Miss Jenkins remonstrates with a police officer. He comes through the door.
Okay, you're out. On the condition that you never enter your daughter in a beauty pageant in the state of California ever again. Ever.
Frank, totally straight-faced, turns slowly to the others.
I think we can live with that.
He raises both eyebrows. Outside, Richard checks the sliding door on the camper van.
We're back in business. Lock and load.
He opens the tailgate. The family look at the white bedsheet left behind in the luggage space. Richard rolls it into a ball and turns to Olive.
Olive, your grandpa would have been really proud of you.
Yeah, you look great.
You were beyond great.
You were incredible.
Thank you.
Let's get out of here.
He opens the driver's door. Cheryl, Frank, Dwayne, and Olive push from behind. Richard jumps into the driver's seat. Olive sprints for the side door and leaps on board. The camper van picks up speed. Cheryl jumps on board after her.
It's in gear.
Frank and Dwayne follow. They're heading for the car park exit. Miss Jenkins, in her car at one of the exit barriers, looks up, horrified, as the camper van crashes through the next door barrier and out onto the road. The yellow and white camper van heads off down the freeway back to Albuquerque. The picture slowly fades to black. This audio description was written and produced by IMS for Fox Searchlight Pictures. Little Miss Sunshine was directed by Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Farris, written by Michael Arndt, produced by Albert Berger and Ron Yerxa, produced by Mark Turtletaub, David T. Friendly, Peter Saraf. Starring Greg Kinnear as Richard, Toni Collette as Cheryl, Steve Carroll as Frank, Paul Dano as Dwayne, with Abigail Breslin as Olive, and Alan Arkin as Grandpa, Brian Cranston as Stan Grossman, Beth Grant as pageant organizer and judge Miss Jenkins, Wallace Langham as Kirby, Matt Winston as the pageant MC, Julio Oscar Macozzo as the mechanic. Casting by Kim Davis Wagner, Justine Badley. Executive producers, Jeb Brody, Michael Bale. Director of Photography, Tim Sersted, ASC. Production designed by Kalina Ivanov. Edited by Pamela Martin. Costumes designed by Nancy Steiner. Music composed by Michael Danner. Featuring music by Divochka. Music supervisors, Susan Jacobs, Anne Litt. Fox Searchlight Pictures, in association with Big Beach, present a Daytona Farris film, a Big Beach bona fide production, in loving memory of Rebecca Anito, a true beauty inside and out. Unit production manager, Michael Bayog. First assistant director, Thomas Patrick Smith. Second assistant director, Gregory Smith. Choreography by Marguerite Derricks. The remaining cast in order of appearance were Frank's doctor, Mark Turtletaub, Cindy, Jill Talley, diner waitress, Brenda Canela, convenience store proprietor, Chuck Loring, Josh, Justin Shilton, Larry Sugarman, Gordon Thompson, teen boy, Stephen Christopher Parker, hospital doctor, John Walcott, Linda, Paula Newsom, state trooper, McCleary Dean Norris, Miss California, Lauren Shea Harmer, pageant assistant, Pam, Mary Lynn Raskub, funeral home worker, Jerry Giles, biker dad, Jeff Mead, judge, Joan Shecko, girl in hallway, Cassandra Ash, officer Martinez, Mel Rodriguez. Pageant contestants, Alexandria Alleman, Alisa Anderegg, Brittany Baird, Cambria Baird, Brenna Bandy, Kristen Hollas, Malaya Hudson, Destry Jacobs, Lindsay Jordan, Shane Murphy, Annabelle Roberts, Sydney Stevenson Love, Nicole Stoer, Lauren Yee. Stunt coordinator, Tom Robinson Harper. Assistant stunt coordinator, Kenny Anderson. Stunt players, Christy Abercrombie, Casey Borrowman, Clay Boss, Peter C. Cullen, Rick Gunderson, Riley Thomas Harper, Johnny Johnson, Matt Taylor, Tim Trella. Score recorded by Devochka. Guitars, whistles, piano, organ, Nick Urata. Violin, accordion, piano, Thomas Hagerman. Double bass, tuba, Jeannie Schroeder. Drums, percussion, trumpet, glockenspiel, Sean King. Additional musicians, cello, John Cravosa, piano, Michael Dana. Songs, Chicago and No Man's Land, written and performed by Sufjan Stevens. America the Beautiful, traditional, performed by Matt Winston. To Abandono, performed by Francisco Javier Gonzalez and Jose Zuniga. Information Highway and Change the World, written and performed by John Ehrlich. Enemy Guns, written and performed by Devochka. Give My Regards to Broadway, performed by Cassandra Ash. 15 Years Ago, performed by Conway Twitty. You've Got Me Dancing, performed by Inspiration. La Llorona, performed by Devochka. Rodeo Queen, performed by Lindsay Jordan. Martini Lounge, performed by David Sparkman. Give It Up, performed by Pulse. Let It Go, performed by Julie Griffin. Super Freak, written by Rick James and Alonzo Miller. Performed by Rick James. Remix and additional production by Sebastian Arocca Morton for Rocker Sound. Till the End of Time, written by Nick Urata and Devochka. Performed by Devochka. Soundtrack available on Lakeshore Records. Copyright 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. A wave washes over a shoreline, rolling back to reveal the words Big Beach written in the sand. This audio description written and produced by IMS.